We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door. In as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. We'll continue talking about the Bucks at 48-48, a game and a half out of a wild card spot as we continue forward on the show. Dan Zangrilli at 9:35, Jordy Mercer at 9. Much more on the Buccos. But right now, joining us on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years, is our good buddy from The Athletic, Steelers insider Mark Caboli. Good morning, Mark. How you doing, pal?
Oh, pretty good, Adam. 12 days and counting, right?
Yeah, who's counting? And I'm hoping for your sake that the weather breaks and you're not looking at 94 degrees every single day in Latrobe, my man.
Yeah, I doubt it, though. Latrobe, it gets a little bit more toastier than maybe what the temperature says on the field. But, hey, they moved the practices up to, the majority of them, to 10:30 in the morning, so that might benefit us older portly guys.
Yeah, I think it'll help. And I actually talked to Mike Tomlin about that. He said it was all for you, Mark. So Caboli joins us here on the Fan Morning Show. And you can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. So Fox Sports, they gave their season projections even before training camp. It's the slow time of the year in the NFL. And they got the Steelers going 8-9, this after going 10-7 last year, with Mason Rudolph, Kenny Pickett, and Mitch Trubisky at quarterback. Do you think they're underselling the Steelers? Before camp, what do you look at for this team? Do you think that they're a double-digit win team, or do you think they got it right at 8-9?
They're right around that ballpark, right? 8-9, 9-8, 10-7 type of situation. It's hard to tell at this moment right now. I mean, a lot of that is, you know, as you said, this time of the year, I call this the Mount Rushmore time of the year.
Yes, it
know?
Is.
So you're just looking for some content. And it's hard. I mean, it's hard to determine that right now. I think they put themselves in position to be successful if everything works out as well. People look at the division, you know, the second half of the schedule, the question marks that maybe with Russell Wilson and the wide receiver position, and come up with that 8-9. But I mean, I wouldn't go crazy and say they're out of the ballpark. It's right in there. 8-9, 10 wins, probably they'll end up being.
If you would have told me a month ago, projections out there, the Steelers going 8-9, I think I'd have been aghast, because I do think it's a better roster. But then Doran brought this up last week, and I think it's a really good point by him. How many players on this roster do you know exactly what you're going to get from them? T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, Minkah Fitzpatrick, you probably know what you're getting. In fact, I would argue you do know what you're getting out of Najee Harris. Maybe Patrick Queen, but he's new to the proceedings here. I mean, I think the list is five or fewer, Mark, of guys that you really know exactly what they're going to give you.
Yeah, and you have to throw in coaching staff as well. How this offense is going to run. I think the biggest part is offensive line right now. I mean, they have the talent there. That's how the offense is obviously going to go. But you could have potentially, what, three new starters? Or two new starters and three guys in different positions. It's going to take a while for them, those guys to get, you know, used to each other. So that's an issue too. I mean, I think early on they're going to have to rely on the defense, because most of those guys you're talking about, you know what you're going to get from or on the defensive side of the ball. I think we can pretty much say know what we're going to get from Alex Highsmith as well. I think we know where the ceiling is. I mean, the floor is when it comes to him.
Yeah.
He's pretty much solid. Yeah, he can go from anywhere from 7 to 14 sacks type of situation there. I think we're pretty solid with talking about that. Same thing with Joey Porter. He's similar as well. So I haven't really done the deep dive. I'm assuming a lot of teams in the league are a very similar situation where how many guys do you really? I mean, you're probably in Kansas City right now saying, okay, we got Travis Kelce, we got Pat Mahomes, and who else are we pretty
Well, it's
much
funny
sure
you
about?
Say that, because Doran and I went through that thought exercise last week, and if you're Kansas City, you don't even think about it because you've got Andy Reid and you've got Patrick Mahomes. But we did compare the Steelers to the other teams in the division, and we were accused by some of undervaluing some Steelers and overvaluing some division rival players. But, I mean, we had Baltimore at like 9 or 10 guys they could count on. We had Cincinnati at 7 or 8, and we had Cleveland at 7 or 8. So we actually had more guys on those teams than we did the Steelers.
Did you throw Joe Burrows can count on? I mean, that's a guy that's been battling some injuries. When he's good, he's really good. But
you know what? We did, but we did not include Cam Hayward because he's was injured last year. So there was there was a little bit of hypocriticalness coming out that way. Never from me, Mark. All right, so left to right, you mentioned the offensive line. Left to right, just a prediction before training camp, and things are subject to change, but left to right, who do you think starts on the offensive line against Atlanta?
Well, I think we're going Broderick Jones, the left. I think we'll go Sam Malu, Zach Frazier, James Daniels. Then that's going to be that wild card. I think it's going to be that wild card on the right tackle. I still think Fatanu should be the guy and might end up being the guy. But I just look at Dan Moore and how much they like from Dan Moore, how much experience he has, how much it worked last year with bringing Broderick Jones along slowly. Can't get that out of my mind that they might go with him as in Dan Moore for a series. I mean, for a week or two or 3 weeks or a month or so. So at this point in time, what I've seen, which is not much from Fatanu because he's just learning to put, you know, where to go to get a Permane sandwich right now. He hasn't didn't put the pads on. They're not going to put the pads on probably till what, July 27th, 28th, something like that. I'm going Dan Moore got the inside track of being that right tackle right now, but I would not definitely put any money on that because I think that will be the battle throughout the camp right there.
Do you think they're still poking around trying to find a wide receiver?
I better. I mean, they're probably just in that holding pattern right now to see how, if anybody really shows out in training camp here, there's a guy that says, okay, he looks like, you know, maybe Roman Wilson is more advanced, quicker than we expect him to be, so we can get away with it. Not even get away with it, but not go crazy. I mean, regardless of the situation here, it does not look like Brandon Ayuk's going to leave San Francisco, right? It just doesn't look that way right now. So who else is potentially out there? If you're cutting somebody on August 29th because he's not good enough to be on your 53-man roster, what in the world makes you believe that he would be an upgrade over what the Steelers have right there? So I think they're pretty much – they'll keep their eyes open, but I think you're pretty much, at this point, pretty much dialed into your roster's your roster. Hey, that's our guys. Let's see which one – wins this competition.
Did anybody distinguish themselves as the number two wide receiver again in OTAs and minicamp?
Well, Calvin Austin, but, you know, he should because he's been in the league 3 years. He's fast, and you're not allowed to touch him in OTA. So I hope he excels at that point right there. I still think Freiermuth is the X factor. I mean, I think if you get a season what you expect out of him or what he can provide, he takes a ton of pressure off of that number two spot. And maybe a guy like Cordero Patterson who can play a little bit of every position. I know they have him what number three running back right now, but he played his first 6-7 years in the league as a wide receiver. Maybe he can help out in a specialty role there as well. But all those other guys, very similar, you know. Van Jefferson, Quez Watkins, and guys like that. Roman Wilson is going to have to be that guy who makes that major step that you say, no, we don't even need Ayuk. You know, I think that's the only guy that can do that.
Well, and we've fallen victim to this in the past, guys who look good in shells, right? But you saw out of Russell Wilson, again, early times here, do you think he can be good enough to elevate what is – at best, an average wide receiver room behind George Pickens?
I think a lot of it's going to be scheme. I think they're going to have a plan, mm-hmm. obviously scheme-wise, where they take advantage of the defense, don't turn the ball over, have a punter who's pretty good, play field position game, run the ball, convert third downs, some of that really boring football that we love tend to love here in Pittsburgh. I think he can do pretty well. That, like I said, you don't have to make a ton of throws compared to last year. I mean, Kenny Pickett missed 6 to 12 throws last year where you're like, wow, those are game-changing throws that if he had just been on target right there and put some points on the board, and those 18 points a game turns into, you know, 22 points per game. So I think he's very capable of running what they want to do and not putting them in a bad situation where he's going to lose games for him. I think he's more not going to lose games for him than go out there and throw 30 touchdowns and only 5 interceptions.
Mark, this was very good. Appreciate you coming on, buddy.
All right. If you stay with me this year, Crowley, no peeing in the kitchen.
It's not going to happen. I'm off the sauce. All right. That's a lie, but I won't pee in your kitchen. Thank you, Mark.
All right.
See him. Mark Caboli of The Athletic. We'll react to some of what he had to say coming up next about Russell Wilson in particular and the Steelers wide receiver core. And then what a massive stretch for the Pirates upcoming after the All-Star break. Oh my God. Massive stretch upcoming for the Pirates starting Friday. I mean, oh my God. We'll get into that coming up in a couple of minutes. Mark Caboli was on with us in the last segment. We spent the majority of the show talking about the Bucks, talking about Paul Skeens, talking about Ben Cherington's comments from yesterday, and we'll continue to do that. But just real quickly to react to Mark, he said nobody really distinguished themselves as the Steelers' number two wide receiver at minicamp and OTAs. Now, that is just minicamp and OTAs. He said if somebody did, that would have been Calvin Austin III. But I asked him about Russell Wilson and whether or not Russell Wilson, by Caboli's eyes, can be good enough this year to elevate that room. That's what I'm hoping for right now. That's what we all got to be hoping for right now. Because it's George Pickens and a bunch of guys. Now, I have high hopes for Roman Wilson. I'm not sure he's going to hit the ground running game number one and be a big-time player right at the start of this thing. I do like the pick. I do think he can grow into a sizable role with the Steelers this year. I just don't know that you can count on him from day one. I don't know that he's going to be Puka Nacua, for God's sakes, and have 1,500 yards as a rookie and kind of come out of nowhere. But if this wide receiver room is to be good enough, if they don't add, it's going to all be on Russell Wilson. And Mark said, well, it's on the coordinator too. And really, Kenny Pickett missed 6 to 12 throws last year that if he made them, could have changed the entire complexion of the season. I think it was probably higher than 12. I mean, he probably had 6 in that 49ers game, for God's sakes. I don't think you judge Russ Wilson on whether or not he's better than Kenny Pickett. I think he just needs to be good. And I do think he can be. I mean, 2 years ago, he had an awful year with Nathaniel Hackett as head coach. That guy sucked. How many times have we talked to Doran about Hackett? That guy's a bum. Only bad year, really, of Russell Wilson's career. And you can nitpick, and you can find moments last season where he ran into sacks, and he didn't see things in the middle of the field. But at the end of the day, he threw 20 touchdowns, 1 pick in the red zone, and his statistics overall were very good. He beat Buffalo. He beat Kansas City. I would love to give him help. I would love if Omar Khan went out and got a Brandon Ayuk or a DK Metcalf, or if Brandon Ayuk were to wind up in Washington, you swing a trade for a Terry McLaurin, something like that. But But if not, I don't think we can just say, Russ, go out there and manage the game. No, he's going to have to elevate guys. And I think there's a possibility that he can still do that. One bad year of his career, get him out of Denver where he wasn't seeing eye to eye with Sean Payton, and let Russ cook. 412-928-9370. You can text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. One more thing Mark said. From left to right, here's what he thinks will be the starting offensive line game one against the Falcons. Jones, Sayamalu, Frazier, James Daniel, and then he thinks Dan Moore Jr. is going to be the right tackle day one. I'd hate to see it. I think you can get by with Dan Moore. They've done it for a few years now. But it's not like you're going up against that murderer's row of pass rushers that Broderick Jones would have had to have gone up against last year, where the Steelers started the year against Bosa, and then they played Myles Garrett, and then you had Max Crosby. Hey, you got Atlanta. I mean, you do not have bona fide superstar after bona fide superstar to where you feel like you could ruin Broderick Jones before things get going. Or I should say Troy Fatanu before things get going. I'd love to just see a guy who started a bajillion games, albeit at left tackle for Washington, get a crack right away. He's not like Broderick Jones. Broderick Jones came in with not a ton of experience. Troy Fatanu was the best offensive lineman on the best offensive line in the country, and he started a bunch of games in a row. This is not an inexperienced guy. This is not a project. This is as close to a finished product as you were going to get in the draft at the offensive tackle position. Let him sink or swim day one.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, fantasy football fans, this is Faraz from Upper Hand Fantasy. We're here 5 times a week to get you ready for your fantasy football drafts with top-notch insights. Get the upper hand on your fantasy football season. Follow and listen to Upper Hand Fantasy on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Callis, this is a wonderful week. Usually this is a very difficult week of sports talk radio. We have been blessed with Paul Skeens being the starter in the All-Star game tomorrow night. We're also blessed with a Pirates team that's now just a game and a half out of a playoff spot at 500. This is tremendous because for a week, you can kind of be proud of your Pirates. You can be happy with where they are. At least I am, and they're not going to screw it up. But the eternal pessimist that I could be, I look at the schedule to open up the second half. You got the Phils, the best team in baseball. You got the Cardinals for 3. And you've played them tough. But you've lost 2 series to them, 2 winnable series to them. So that's your first 6. Mm-hmm. All at home, and you're trailing the Cardinals by 2 games for the second wild card spot. But then it's Arizona for 3. You trail them by a game in the wild card race. Then it's Houston, all of a sudden hot. They're banging their trash cans again in Houston. Then you got Arizona again. Then you got another wild card team in San Diego. Then you got the Dodgers. Then you got San Diego again. Then you got Seattle. Then you got Texas. Then you got Cincinnati. Then you got the suddenly resurgent Chicago. Then you got Cleveland. Then you got Chicago. Then you got Washington.
And then the season end, you're going way. But
I know. That's what I'm saying here, man. Like, you do not have a series where I go.
One game at a time.
I know. But you don't play like a truly bad baseball team. Until September 9th when you play Miami.
Listen, one game at a time. Relax. You just went through 2 months of the schedule.
I know, but you do not have a break here. The White Sox, you did what you had to do, but you really had to do it because things get real hard.
They could have lost the game in that series, too. They did what they were supposed to do. They swept
the series. They sure did. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Let's just calm down for a second.
And look, they did.
Hold on. Let's just assess now, too, that the Pirates split, I believe, the series with the Phillies when it was in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
So they can be the best at whatever, but the Pirates have shown that they're there. And the Pirates have stayed there with the Cardinals in 2 series so far this season. The Padres have been cold as of late. That's why they no longer have a wild card spot. So I think we can just calm down a little bit.
Can I go further here? Because I know you've made fun of me because I gave most of the schedule. You've got that series against Miami from the 9th through the 11th, right, of September.
Right.
you don't have an easy series after that either.
They don't have to be easy.
KC, St. Louis, Cincinnati, Milwaukee, and then you finish the season. Do you know where they finish the season?
I forget.
On the road.
Against the Yankees.
For 3, yeah.
That's right. I thought I remembered correctly.
I am buying the Pirates at 48-48. They have a .544 winning percentage since Skeens and Nick Gonzalez were called up.
I have a hot take to give you here.
You want to give it to me next?
Okay.
When we come back, we got a Nicholas Arikalas hot take. Also, some good news on the injury front from Ben Cherington, who spoke yesterday, fittingly enough, on the Ben Cherington show right here on 93.7 The Fan. We'll get to that when we come back. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Do you think the Bucks will make the playoffs? 73% of people so far saying no. Ben Cherington gave an injury report yesterday on the Ben Cherington Show. Some good news. Some help on the way. Help is on the way for the Pirates. We'll get into that coming up in a minute. But Callis said he has a hot take. He wants to drop a hot take on us.
So, when we talk about schedules, I mean, you're panicking about series and stuff.
I'm not panicking. I'm just saying it's going
to
be hard.
Listen to me. You said, look at the games they have coming up, and then listed 2 months of the remaining 3 they have on the schedule.
I think I listed the entire schedule.
Yeah, you pretty much were just like, oh, look what they have coming up. Oh. So I would call that panic a little bit because the season, you know, will fluctuate and games will happen and results will happen and teams may get stronger or weaker as the season moves forward, including the Pirates. So let's just calm down about that. But that got me to thinking, I think that baseball is the only sport where strength of schedule really isn't a big thing. In hockey, you play one team every few days. So the games are more pressing every time you go out there. Football is extremely important to consider because you play once a week. Each game has incredible weight to it week after week because you only play so many games and you only play for the most part once a week. And the NBA, I think they, I don't know how they play. They don't do series though, right? It's one. I don't follow the NBA.
No.
Don't make fun of it. Okay.
Your hot take's falling apart.
So, but in baseball, you have time to adjust. You see the same team 3 to 4 times in a series. And so anything can really happen in those series.
I mean, that's why, yeah, baseball is such a big sample size sport because you really, and I mean, think about it. You really are, the old adage goes, as good as the next day's starting pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Garrett Crochet is allowed to pitch 7 innings for the White Sox the other day, the White Sox are bad. I mean, holy cow, is that team bad. Like, that team, and we've seen some bad baseball. That is as bad a team as I've seen in a while. But if Garrett Crochet can go 7, they probably win that game because that's who was on the mound that day. So I do understand what you're saying. And I said it earlier in the show. If the Pirates keep up the pace, their winning percentage that they've had since Skeens came up and Nick Gonzalez, which is .544, and they do that in the second half, they're going to win 84 games.
Mm.
So they're going to have a chance to make the playoffs. I think they're going to add. I think they will make the playoffs, but they're absolutely going to have to earn it. Philly, St. Louis, Arizona, Houston, your next 4 series. But here's the cool thing about all this. So Philly, they're the best team in ball, but St. Louis, you're head-to-head for a wild card spot right now. Arizona, head-to-head for a wild card spot right now. Then you get San Diego, head-to-head for a wild card spot. You're going to start to suss this out, and you're not going to have to scoreboard watch as much. Because you're playing these teams head-to-head. Are you ready now, Nicholas Harry Callis, for the injury report? Let's do it. The injury report is brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich & Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. So Ben Cherington yesterday on his radio show right here on 93.7 The Fan said Jared Jones is going to rehab at their complex in Bradenton. He'll start throwing soon after the All-Star break. But they're going to keep him in Florida to build him back there because they don't want weather delays or traveling or anything like that to get in the way of his throwing progression. My guess is he'll be back in late August. Because here's the quote from Cherington. Quote, "We anticipate and certainly our expectation is that he's back starting games for us in the major leagues as we keep fighting this thing out into August and September." But I do think that that right there is the most interesting part of the quote. He'll be back for us starting games as we keep fighting this thing out into August and September. If they do fall out of the race, I don't think it would surprise anybody if you don't see Jared Jones again. Just to protect him. I think they'll maintain their standing in the race. But if they fall out, just hearing that live and then reading it back again here, if they fall out, I don't know that we'll see Jared Jones the rest of the way. Now, Bailey Falter will get some simulated situations during the All-Star break. He should be back soon. And then Ryan Borecki, who was really good for the Pirates last year with a 2.45 ERA and 38 appearances, he is going to have at least one, potentially two more outings in the minor leagues after the All-Star break, then likely return. And so the Pirates' bullpen, which has been getting better with Majinski and with Kyle Nicholas, and then your 3 guys in the back end now that David Bednar is healthy, you add Borecki to the mix, and all of a sudden, what we all kind of thought a strength would be of this team coming into the year, I think might be a strength again, and I think it's developed into a strength over the last couple of weeks or so. One last thing on the injury front, Andrew McCutchen pulled in the penultimate game before the break. He played yesterday. He's going to have a few days to recover. That's good. And then O'Neal Cruz didn't re-aggravate anything with that hamstring, and I was a little bit worried just watching him play. He was like 60, 75%. Not going full speed out there. So he appears to be fine, and then he'll get a few days to recover. That's your injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich & Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Jordy Mercer going to be joining us at 9 o'clock. Dan Zangrilli at 9:35. But when we come back, more on Paul Skeens and what tomorrow might mean for this baseball town. 50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. former Bucco, current Pirates analyst on Sportsnet Pittsburgh, Jordy Mercer, going to be joining us in 10 minutes. Paul Skeens, as you well know, to start the All-Star game tomorrow night. So I got to thinking about former Pirates All-Stars. This is going to be so cool. The Pirates are going to be the story early in that game. Skeens is going to warm up, and you know all the cameras are going to be on him. I'd imagine after he goes through his inning, he's going to get interviewed on the broadcast. The Pirates' Paul Skeens is going to be the story. And then they're going to start talking about how the Pirates are just a game and a half out, and how the Pirates have a real shot in this thing, and how the Pirates need to add, and how exciting things are on the North Shore. And it just titillates me. It makes what is typically the most dead period in sports talk radio super exciting around here. And I think the number, the rating that this game is going to do overall is going to be really big. Here in Pittsburgh, it's going to explode. But then I started thinking about former Pirates pitchers that made the All-Star game. And I'm wondering, Callis, who among these guys stands out to you one way or another? Good, bad, ugly. Now you had Bednar the last couple of years, Keller last year. Before that, and here's the ugly, you had Felipe Vasquez for 2 years. And we all know about Felipe Vasquez. Mm. But before that, it was Melanson, Cole, Burnett, Melanson, Watson, Grilly, Locke, Melanson, Hanrahan.
Did you know that Andrew McCutchen hit a home run off Chris Archer in the 2015 All-Star game?
That I did not remember.
What a great moment.
Oh, harbinger of things to come.
You know what year really stands out to me, too?
Please.
So in 2021, I was at the game where Adam Frazier, remember that guy?
Sure do.
It was indicated he was elected to the All-Star game, and me and my friend were there. We were like, yeah, this is cool. Never had that happen before. The Pirates were not good in 2021, but two of their players ended up starting in that All-Star game. Who was the other one?
2021. I should know this right off the top of my head, and I don't. But I'm going to guess, and this is a total random guess, Corey Dickerson.
No, he wasn't on the team at that point.
Who was it?
It was Brian Reynolds.
That was my actual guess, but it's the way you set it up. Yeah.
You thought I was trying to trick you.
How about Reynolds, man? 280-ish, 18 homers, 60 RBI.
He's doing it.
He's a top 10 player in the NL by OPS. Mm-hmm. He's a top 10 player in the NL by home runs. I was crushing the guy about 6 weeks ago, saying he's not living up to his contract. He's one of the best players in the National League.
Yes. But you asked me what All-Star year stands out, that's why.
The year that stands out to me is, and we'll get more into this probably tomorrow, but was when the All-Star game was here. And I went to the Home Run Derby. I went to the All-Star game. And you had Freddy Sanchez, right?
Yes.
Who was the write-in candidate. You had Jason Bay. You had Jack Wilson. That was awesome to be there. As a kid who just loved baseball more than anything else, it was awesome to be there. And did I ever tell you the story about the Home Run Derby?
No.
So late in the Home Run Derby, you had the lefties hitting bombs. And my favorite all-time non-pitcher, non-pirate, because my favorite all-time pitcher that's not a pirate is Pedro Martinez. Mm-hmm. My favorite all-time position player, David Ortiz. And he's hammering homers. So I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to jump in the river, and I'm going to get one of David Ortiz's home run balls. Because I figured, all these boats, I got the advantage. I'll jump right off the river walk, grab the ball, and I'll hightail it out of there.
Uh-huh.
So I leave. They would not let me onto the river walk. They had it all blocked off. So I wasn't allowed to go onto the river walk. Then you don't get re-entry.
Yeah. Yep.
I had to go home early.
Were you not with your parents?
I was with my cousin.
Because you would have still been
16.
In high school. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
It was really dumb.
It was really dumb.
My dad was real pissed when I called him and said, hey, can you pick me up? He goes, what are you talking about?
How much was that ticket?
A lot of money.
Yeah.
Well, because my dad got us season tickets that year so that we could get tickets to the All-Star game and to the Home Run Derby.
Oh.
Yeah, he was pissed.
Crowley.
He was way pissed. Which All-Star do you like better?
Actually, you know what? Real quick, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents did better than mine, though. My my mom did not know enough about like baseball back then. She knew I liked baseball, but she didn't know what the All-Star break was. So I did not go.
I think the Pirates were like 30-60 mm-hmm. at the break. I mean, they were just
they took me to games regularly.
Horrendous.
Like my really young years, like from 6 to 12, I would go very regularly to games. And every time they went, they would win. And I never saw them lost until I went to a Yankee game, and I think I cursed myself.
What year was that?
The year I went to the Yankee game?
Mm-hmm.
2010, I went to Yankee Stadium for the first time. The year after they won the World Series, too.
So, which of these All-Stars makes you laugh more when you hear it?
Okay.
Evan Meek or Kevin Correa?
Evan Meek. Setup guy.
My God.
Kevin Correa was at least legit. I mean, they weren't good. He was one of their better players. What, 2011, I would think he was?
Yeah, it was 2011. Good call by you. I think he might have been leading baseball in wins at that point, but I think his ERA was north of 4. Like, his peripheral numbers were really bad. What a far cry we are from that, where Kevin Correa was named the Pirates All-Star because you have to have an All-Star, and now Paul Skeens is the best pitcher in baseball, and he's starting the game.
See, I don't make fun of those teams, though, because like that 2011 team gave hope to the Pirates. I mean,
yes.
They were the first. They were in first place for, I think, a week.
Dude, there was
they just had a terrible September.
I'm 33. That was the best team I had ever really seen that I could cognizantly watch.
Remember the Jerry Mills game?
Yep.
I was at a baseball tournament, and I came back, and we watched that game, and it went so long, I went to sleep, and I woke up to the news. Pirates got bleeped while the news
That was a great social media moment, though. Jerry Mills says he's safe. That was a disaster. That 11 year, it captured the imagination. Then 12, you thought it was for real, and then it wasn't. And then 13 was scary because you were always waiting for the other shoe to drop, and we all know what happened. All right, coming up next, Jordy Mercer was on that 2013 Pirates Club. He's now an analyst for Sportsnet Pittsburgh. His thoughts on the Buccos at the break, we'll get them when we come back. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 94.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football fans, this is Zach from Upper Hand Fantasy. You don't want an embarrassing tattoo just because you lost a bet in your fantasy football league, right? If you do, I suggest a mermaid holding a football, but let's avoid that altogether. Fraz and I are here to get you ready for your fantasy football drafts with insights and advice. From sleepers to busts, we've got you covered to give you the upper hand on your friends. Start your fantasy football prep now. Join us and stay ahead of the competition. Follow and listen to Upper Hand Fantasy on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.